Open with me to Matthew chapter 11. And beginning in verse 25, it says, "At that time, Jesus declared, 'I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son. And anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Father, thanks for again for your word. And I pray that as we just get into some of these things and think about some of these things, that, Father, you reveal your heart to our hearts. And that, Father, we can see more clearly what you've called us to and who we are and what we have to look forward to as your children. Thank you, Father, for your word, for your grace, for your love and mercy in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, lately we've been looking at some things that I sort of refer to as the basics. I think that Jim did a wonderful job handling some things regarding prayer. And, you know, last week we considered briefly some things regarding trusting the Lord with all our hearts, leaning not to our own understanding. When we read these things in God's Word, they make sense. They seem rather straightforward. But the truth is that it's a challenge that we're constantly faced with. And it really boils down to, or at least in one sense, it boils down to the challenge of self. The flesh likes to be in charge. And oftentimes we decide what is right, or we decide the direction we want to go in. We decide priorities in our lives. And we all go through it, all of us. We've all experienced endeavoring to be satisfied in any number of ways. We have all succumbed to the temptation that if only I had this, that'll do it. You know, to those who all they want is to be married. Boy, if they were only married, that'll do it. Those who are married know that actually that's not exactly it. Right? Or if I only had fill in the blank, I would be satisfied. I would have enough. But the truth is that outside outside of God, outside of our Lord Jesus Christ, there is really nothing that is satisfying. And what we're reading here are truly satisfying, that will bring true contentment. And what we're reading here in Matthew 11, we're going to see in a moment, and I got real blessed a few minutes ago, we heard the words, an invitation. And that's what we're going to consider this morning. This is an invitation. It's an amazing invitation being presented by the Lord Jesus Christ. In thinking about some of these things and just in thinking about, you know, contentment and seeking things without God, this came to my mind, and it's from Ecclesiastes, and it's in the first chapter. In Ecclesiastes 1, verse 14, it says, I have seen everything that is done under the sun. All is vanity and a striving after wind. It's quite a picture, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Trying to catch wind. That's what life, apart from God, is like. It is a striving after wind. Nothing satisfies. Back to Matthew 11, in verse 25, it says, at that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. This little children is a reference to having the heart of a child. It's a reference to a humble acceptance. The context here was Jesus had been dealing with the religious leaders. And beginning in the previous chapter, he is dealing with their rejection. And he's pointing some things out to them. And he ends up just prior to this saying, it will be more tolerable in the day of judgment for Sodom than for Capernaum because of the rejection. They had a picture of what the Messiah would be. They had a picture of who he would be. And they had determined that this is what the Messiah would look like. Well, Jesus didn't look like that. So he says here, at that time, this is what he declares. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding, from those who should have known, from those who knew the scriptures, and revealed them to little children. Isn't that beautiful? The heart of a child. In awe, ready to believe, not relying on themselves. You know, when small children do begin to rely on themselves, they come to the end of that fairly shortly and realize, help! See, that heart of a child. Verse 26, yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. You know, so much of what God does is opposite of how the world does it. In 1 Corinthians, it says, not many mighty, not many noble are called. You see your calling. Look around. You know, the mighty according to the world, or the noble according to the world. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. And then verse 27. all things have been handed over to me by my Father. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. There are a number of places we could look at in Scripture, but one that comes to mind is Ephesians chapter 1. And he has made him to be head over all things to the church. All things to the church. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father. This know is to, it is to fully know, to experientially know. Okay? This is beyond knowing that there's a God. This is far beyond that. No one knows the Father except the Son, except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son. And anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Okay? And again, this is to fully know. To them whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Now, in light of what was just said, okay, verse 28, here's the invitation. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will what? I will give you rest. Okay. Come to me. Me, Jesus Christ, the Son, come to me. You are being invited to come to him so that he may reveal who? The Father. That's the open invitation. And then it's all ye that labor and are heavy laden. That's all of humanity. Now, in this context, in the immediate context, those of Israel were under the heavy yoke of the Pharisees and of the religious leaders, where the goalposts kept being moved. But all of humanity is heavy laden. We're heavy laden primarily with self, with either trying to be good enough for God, or thinking we can never be good enough for God. All the different things that come into play. All the different things that we think are important to God. And that if we don't do this, and what Jesus Christ is saying is, come to me. I will reveal the Father to you. That's pretty amazing. It's not exclusive. It's anybody. This is an open invitation. Now, when you get an invitation, the polite thing to do, even if it's not requested, is to RSVP. And the way we accept it is to take his yoke upon us. To be yoked with him. This scripture of Jesus revealing the Father. I wrote a couple of things down here. John 14, in speaking with Philip, he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes unto the Father except through me. The invitation is to have God himself revealed through his Son. Isn't that amazing? In John 17, just prior to Jesus Christ giving himself over to be crucified, he says in his prayer, says, since you have given him authority, referring to himself, over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him, then he says, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. The purpose of eternal life is to know God and him whom God has sent, Jesus Christ. That is the point for eternal life. Now, in light of that being, this is eternal life, to know the Son and to know God. Think in terms of this side of eternity, living without, living disconnected from God and from his Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 29 says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. This taking his yoke upon us is to accept his leadership. It is to work subjecting ourselves to him. That means of necessity, we need to come out from under the yoke of self. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. Now that is going to be a process as we learn of him, of his faithfulness, of what it is he's done for us. And what we begin to see is we don't bring anything to the table. We don't bring anything to the table. This invitation, it's an open invitation. Come to me. Learn from me to learn from the gentle and lowly one in heart. Humility instead of pride. Humility instead of pride. Others instead of self. That's what we begin to learn. Those are the things that make life sing. That's what makes life count. Okay. Marriage is awesome when both are relying on their Lord Jesus Christ and their Heavenly Father. Money is awesome when I can walk with my God on how to handle it and what to do with it. Do you see it? Doing what I love to do for work, that's a wonderful. There's nothing wrong with any of these things in and of themselves. It's when they supplant God. When we are seeking those things for our identity or our contentment outside of our God, outside of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see where this challenge comes in? Because it is against the grain. You know, in another place, in Matthew 7, Jesus Christ says, the way is narrow. It's narrow. To life. The other way is really wide. It's wide. Do you know why it's wide? Because that's what everybody does. See? That's the way the world goes. That's the way the world thinks. And so our challenge is not to get caught up with the world. And it says, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. what a great, that's just one of those things you read, you go, you find rest for your souls. There is a freedom in relying on your Lord Jesus Christ rather than self. There is a great freedom in that. I wanted to read this in Matthew chapter 15. Just a portion of it. But John 15. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. I'm beginning in verse 1 of John 15. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. You know, this word abide, depending on its context, has different shades of meaning. But in essence here, this is where we're at home. This is where we belong. This is where we belong. I am at home with my Lord Jesus Christ. I am at home with my Heavenly Father. Then it says, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do what? Right. There's a parable. I'm not going to read the whole parable. We don't have time to get into it, but you can note this if you like. It's Matthew 22, and I think most of you are familiar with this parable. It opens with, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. And he set his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. So it goes on how that he had invited all of these people. They had excuses as to why they wouldn't come to the wedding. So what he does is he sends his servants out to invite anybody and everybody come to the wedding. And many came. But there was one that showed up without the wedding garment. Now, the wedding garment was given to each, and this is what they would wear. And this feast would go on for, it usually began at night and would go on for days. But the king saw somebody there who didn't have on his wedding garment. He came in his own clothes. And so the king kicked him out. He kicked him out. The invited guests and those who answered the invitation were clothed. Not by their own works, not by their own self-righteousness, not by their own do-goodism, anything else. They were clothed by the king with garments that he gave. Do you see the picture? And that's exactly how it is with us. We are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I will clothe you. Okay. So the clothing of self-righteousness, the clothing of whatever it is, that's discarded. That's what it is to put yourself under the yoke of the Lord Jesus Christ. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I wrote down such a great verse in Isaiah 61, and the context, without going there, is it's regarding Israel, and they're in pretty dire straits, but it's just part of God's giving them hope and what some of the things are going to transpire in the future. And in Isaiah 61:10, it says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. Isn't that beautiful? Okay. Then it says in verse 30, back to Matthew, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Because Jesus Christ has done the work. He clothes us. Clothes us. We don't clothe ourselves. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I opened with Ecclesiastes and chasing the wind. And the book of Ecclesiastes goes on. All the different ways that men try and seek satisfaction and contentment. And all is vanity. All is like chasing the wind. But Ecclesiastes closes with this. In verse 13 of chapter 12, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. That answers the question to priority, doesn't it? It answers the question as to what the focus of our life should be, of what the direction of our life should be in all that we do. Jesus Christ states it like this in Matthew 6. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. See, instead of seeking those things first and hoping that God will one day be added unto you. I saw, it was actually very sad. You know, I saw a man who had been diagnosed with cancer. Well-known, I'm not going to mention his name, but well-known. And he'd been an atheist his whole life. And he said that his Christian friends had been pleading with him to believe on Jesus Christ. And at first blush, I thought, wow, okay. And he said, so I've decided that it is worth my being a Christian because my odds are better . And I thought, no. And it really tore me up. I pray that, you know, that he landed in a better place than what he said on his video. Because Jesus isn't an insurance policy. He's Lord. God made him Lord. And we are yoked with him. That's our life. That's what he's after. That's what he's after. Our hearts, our lives. Discipleship. That's what it looks like. That's what it looks like. And these things are not drudgery. These things are not drudgery. Actually, the heart behind it, which we're not going to have time to look at, but look it up. The heart behind it is this, that your joy might be full. That your joy might be full. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Father, I want to thank you for your word and just how awesome it is to think about some of these things and to consider some of these things and for the purpose that you've given us, for the hope that you've given us, for your spirit dwelling within, how you work in us to willing to do of your good pleasure. You teach us, you nudge us, you open our eyes and our hearts so that we don't have to stumble around in darkness. Thank you, Father, for these things and how that we have done nothing to earn these things, but we have simply believed on your Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ. I thank you, Father, for these things in his name. Amen.
Amen.